Amen. Well, on Thursday, July 24th, which is Thursday, the first of two teams leave for Novi Sad, Serbia. And both of these teams have spent the last 9 months planning and praying for their ministry there. And they are excited about it. And these members have sacrificed their time. They've sacrificed finances. They've sacrificed some vacation time from their work. And they want to follow the Lord in what's ahead for them and in heading over to Serbia. And I think I speak for all the members of the teams, of both teams, when I say that we have been overwhelmed by the response that we have had and that we have seen from this church. Many of you have given financially to this adventure. Some of you have given of your time to assist us in fundraising. And most importantly, you've prayed for us, and I hope you will continue to pray for us. And we want you to continue to pray, not just for us, but as well for the youth and the children that will be coming to these two separate camps. And I know that there's going to be youth, there's going to be children there that don't know the Lord. And some of the youth are going to be some of the street kids from Novi Sad that need to hear of His love and know that their life can change because of Jesus Christ. Last week, as Terry Lynn mentioned in the announcements, you received a booklet like this, or you had the opportunity to get a booklet like this, and they're in each one of the foyers, and you can grab yours after the morning service. But on these pages are personal prayer requests for each one of the members or the couples that are going, and we want you to pray for us while we're there, and because we just trust the Lord that some great things are going to happen. And in this booklet are some very practical, real good ways that you can pray for each of us. Those on the youth team, and I think you'll see this picture behind me, they are Ryan and Ange Matches and Julie, there they are, Julie and Craig Cousteau and Chris Standish and myself. And this is the team that will be running the youth camp, and as I said, to teens from Novi Sad. And these youth, they need to hear of the love of Jesus Christ, and that their lives can be changed through Him. And this is what we want to do. This is what we as a team want to do. We want to impart the good news, the gospel, to these youth, and we want to make sure that they hear about Jesus Christ. We're going to be going through some parables each week different parables, and each one of us is going to be doing a lesson to the youth. And so please be praying for us in regards to that. And then we got the children's team. And here comes the children's team. There they are. And we got Roger and Barb Garnitis, Chris and Meg DeVrooman, Terry Lynn Baker, and Julie and myself. And on August 1st, the two teams are going to come together. The children's team is going to leave on July 31st, so they'll get there August 1st. And then we have a day or so together in Serbia, and Danny and Vera are somehow going to house us all. We're not quite sure about this. We're not worried at all. No, we're not worried about it. I'm sure they have it all worked out, and this is the only part of the trip that we just don't quite know how it's going to go. So maybe they have one big bed for all of us to sleep in. Please pray for us. Please. So this trip is... just to give you a little background into this trip, it's been in the works since about March of 2007. Danny and Vera were here for some time. They spent with our church family for about a week, and Julie and I had the opportunity of heading out or having dinner with them one night, and Danny and Vera shared their vision for this, and they shared the history of this camp and the way that they've ministered to the youth and the children over the years. And Danny and Vera wanted us to come in the summer of 2007. And I said, Danny, we can't do that. We don't have enough time to plan. I don't have enough time to ask people to get their finances together. But I said, you know what? I'm going to work at putting a team together for 2008. And so that's how that all came together. So last summer and in the fall, I was asking people within the church family if they would be interested in coming, and those are the two teams that you see, and they all responded rather quickly, and we as two teams first met in October of last year, and Danny and Vera were were here in Canada. We had an opportunity to talk to them about it. They had an opportunity to meet the teams, and since then, we've been meeting on a monthly basis, and I've been meeting with each team on a monthly basis and going through the schedule and planning and trying to get all this stuff sorted out, and it's been a lot of fun. Let me tell you this about the teams. They're two great teams. These are two great teams that I get to go with. They're enthusiastic, and they're hard workers. They've done a lot of work behind the scenes, and there's a lot of work ahead for us over there, but they've done a lot of work behind the scenes to get to where we're at today. And they're upbeat, they're creative. We got some fun stuff planned for these kids. In fact, one of the mornings, each team is going to do a little bit of Canada Day, and so we're going to make pancakes. That's why we asked you to bring in the maple syrup, and we're just going to introduce pancakes to these kids because I think they have something similar to that, but not quite like Aunt Jemima makes. So we're going to have some pancakes for them, and we're just very excited about that. This is a wonderful opportunity for these members of this team to go, and I hope as they go, as I said, you will be praying for them. And we're going to take a few minutes at the end of this service after communion. I'm going to have the two teams come up on the platform, and we're going to pray for them together as a church family. But this morning, I want to talk to you about missions, and I want to talk to you about these mission trips. We've had a lot of people from this church go off on mission trips of all sorts, one of another. And some of them have been organized by this church and through Graham and myself. Others of you have gone with different organizations. But I want to talk about the impact that mission trips can have. First of all, on you and then on us as a church family. And this is some things that I have observed as we have gone into this adventure. And as we have as a church, really focused on this whole aspect of missions. And so I want to speak to you, first of all, about one of the first ways that a missions trip can impact you is on you personally. The strength or the impact that a missions trip has on you is on you personally. Let me explain this. When you decide to go on a missions trip, the impact starts immediately. You might think, well, it's when I get home or it's when I'm there that's when the impact really hits me. Or when I get home, then I have time to decipher everything and think things through. Then that's when the trip really impacts me. But it actually starts to impact you before you even go. When you say yes to going on a missions trip, it starts right away. And you might think, before you get your finances together and then you begin to tell your friends and you begin to tell your family and you put out the support letters and all sorts of those things, the impact begins to mount on you and you begin to feel it. It begins to consume your thoughts, and we cannot downplay how much of an impact this has on the individuals going. And I'm sure you heard last week of the impact that Peru had on the youth that went and what they experienced and what they saw. But the impact was even before they went and getting all this stuff together and going and Graham preparing that team. The impact starts even before you go. This brochure that we put together for you asked each person or couple why they said yes to being a part of these teams that are heading off to Serbia. And I wanted to just share a couple snippets from that just so that you can kind of get a feel for the impact that this has on these people. And this is even before they left. And Chris and Meg DeVrooman said, "Are you kidding? How could we say no?" This is says, "Why you said yes to being part of the Serbia team? Are you kidding? Why would we say no? God has given us an amazing opportunity to serve him on this trip and to these people." Here is what Roger and Barb Garnitis said. "What a great opportunity to experience what it is like to be a missionary in a foreign country and to reach out to their community. To be able to go is such a privilege." Ryan and Ann Matches said, "When asked if we would be interested in being a part of the team to go to Serbia, we looked at each other," you can just imagine them looking at each other, "and immediately we knew it would be a perfect fit. We both have a heart for missions, and to be able to go overseas and see and be a part of the work the Karangis are doing was a no-brainer." You see, the impact starts immediately. That's even before we go. These people are impacted. In Scripture, we can read about the account of the 70 who were sent out by Jesus. In my mind, this is maybe one of the first mission trips that ever happened in Scripture. You see, all these people are around Jesus. And he has his disciples. But now he has all these followers and all these converts. And now Jesus wants him to go out to every city where he himself was going. Luke 10 tells us, "Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come." Great strategic plan by Jesus. He sends out these 70 to cities and towns of where he was planning on going. Sent them as a forerunner. And he was saying to them, he continues on in the Bible, and he was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And then we see in verse 17 of that chapter of Luke 10, it says, "The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" Now, there's a lot that we could say about these verses. But if you look at the response of the 70 when they returned, we can see they were very excited. It tells us they were filled with joy. Scripture doesn't tell us how long they were gone. Maybe it was a few hours. Maybe it was a few days. Maybe it was a couple weeks. We don't really know. But now they have come back together. And you can imagine that scene. They were all happy to see each other. They were comparing stories. They were telling of the great things that happened on their trip. And they were sharing that with one another, and they were excited. I can imagine from these verses that there must have been healings, that there must have been some miraculous miracles that took place, that demons were cast out of people. And they come back, and Scripture tells us that they report that it was so great that even the demons were under their authority. You see, for each of the 70 that were sent out on this trip, it had a huge impact on their lives. These people were changed. When you go on a missions trip, your life will be changed. You heard about that from the youth last week. Do you want a different jolt to your system? Do you want to experience God working in and through you in ways that maybe you thought never possible? Do you want to experience perhaps what these 70 experienced? You can. You just need to see some of these opportunities that we can give you as a church family or that is out there with other mission organizations. I've been so impressed with this church family and how we have opened ourselves up to missions. In these last 2 years, we've had the opportunity of seeing dozens of people head out on missions. And whether it's been to Serbia or Peru or Romania, Indonesia, Africa, Russia, Poland, many other places in this world to help with the cleanup of Katrina. We as a church family have watched dozens of people being personally impacted by the Holy Spirit through these trips. And I hope it continues. And I hope that many more of you jump on board and stretch yourselves a little bit. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is, am I willing to be sent out as a laborer into the harvest? Am I willing to be sent out as a laborer into the harvest? Now there's a progression that happens as we go through this. So you're impacted personally. You as an individual, when you begin to get yourselves ready for a missions trip, you're impacted personally. You're impacted before you leave. You're impacted while you're there. And you're impacted when you get home. But there's a progression. And if we as individuals are impacted, then the second way these mission trips are going to have an impact is on the church family. How can we not be impacted when people are coming back and telling us stories? Telling us stories of what God has done. Telling us stories of how the missionaries are working there. Telling us stories of the need for people to hear about Jesus Christ. How can we as a church family not be impacted? Every time we send someone out or we send a group, we as a church are impacted. And ultimately, the community is impacted. We're personally impacted. The church is impacted. The community is impacted. I have watched how things have unfolded this year regarding these two trips to Peru and Serbia. And I've watched and I've observed how you as a church have responded when we have put things before you. This is how, maybe you don't realize it, but this is how I've seen how you as a church this far have been impacted. It started with the tailgate party. Remember that? Back in February? Started with that. Many of you gave us money. Yeah, there was a football game that we could watch, and there was lots of food, but many of you gave way more than you were ever going to eat. Some of you ate way more than you ever gave, but many of you gave more money than you were ever going to eat at this tailgate party because you knew what this was going for. You knew what was ahead. Then we had the dinner auction, and Graham raised more money than what he expected at that auction. There were, in fact, less people at this event than when he did 2 years ago. And I think I'm right on this, right, Graham? And he raised more money with less people at this event than he did 2 years ago. Then there was a golf tournament, and many of you were out there hitting your ball into the bush, hitting it out of the bush, into another bush, all for the sake of missions. It was great. And you guys gave of your time. Some of you were out there, I think, for like 6 hours on the golf course, hitting the ball around for missions. It was great. And then there was the yard sale. What can I say about the yard sale? I don't know if you came into this building during the days leading up to that event, but this place was a mess. It was an absolute disaster zone. And don't get me wrong, it was a good mess. It was a good mess. We had rooms filled with stuff. And I remember one night coming here and helping to sort through the stuff. I actually have never seen so many ashtrays at one church yard sale. I don't know. It's good to see you guys are giving up smoking. Tons and tons of ashtrays. I just found that very funny. The hallways along the back of the church were filled, jammed with furniture and bikes and golf bags and skis and all sorts of stuff. You people gave and gave and gave towards it. And you might be thinking, hey, I was just unloading a bunch of junk and clutter in my house. But the way this church family responded and the hard work of Chris and Beth McDougall to put it all together was absolutely amazing. It had a great impact on our church family, but it also had this. It had a great impact on the community. Many of the people who came to this yard sale were from the community. I didn't see too many of you there. Totally understandable. You don't want to buy your junk back. I get that. All right. Many of the people who came were from the community. My guess is that of all the people who came, and there was, like, I can't even guess, I mean, hundreds of people, like literally hundreds of people that came, 90% of them would have been from the community. And many of those same people came up to me or they came up to someone else. And we had put a little sign out front to tell what the proceeds were going towards. And they were so excited going, yeah, you know, we're just happy that we're able to help and give money to these trips. It was wonderful. And for the two teams that were going to Serbia, we were overwhelmed by how much money God blessed us with, and for the teams to Peru as well, overwhelmed by how much money came in. The community was impacted. We're not sure how, but we know that the community was impacted. And now as we head out to Serbia, we have been overwhelmed by the response to the whole help us with the supplies thing that we have put out before you. And so many of you have responded, and if you want to go look in my office after the service, you can see the mess that's in my office. And we just have so much stuff that we got to take over there. And Lord willing, Air Canada will see favor upon us and let us take heavy bags. But that's not a problem. We're not worried about that. But it's exciting to see all this stuff happen. And let me say this too. We are going to introduce to the youth and children of Serbia the game of hockey. Because you have given, we are going to take hockey sticks, and we're going to take some goalie pads and masks, and we're going to take the nets over to Serbia, and we're going to introduce one of the main staples of Canadian society to them, hockey. And Milan, they don't have hockey over there, do they? No, see, no, they don't have hockey at all. So one day, this is what I'm a little worried about, though. One day, if the Serbian Olympic hockey team beats the Canadian Olympic hockey team in the gold medal at the Olympics, Canada can blame West London Alliance Church. That'll be exciting. But I think through all these fundraisers, one of the most encouraging stories that I've just recently heard was regarding the Shoes for Peru campaign. And as you know, Graham and his team were collecting shoes for people who live in the dump in Peru, and he had a huge box in the south foyer. And that box in no time filled up to overflowing, and Graham was trying to figure out how am I going to get these shoes down to Peru. And it was just, they're good problems to have, good problems to have. But one particular story stood out to me as it was told to me, and I was just aware of this a few weeks ago. One Sunday, this mother observed her young daughter as she they were leaving the church, and the daughter was behind her. And she walked by the box, and she took off her shoes that she wore to church, and she put them in that box. And she walked out of the church in her bare feet. The tears came to my eyes when I heard that. I couldn't believe that this young girl would do that. That's sacrifice. That's a young life impacted because of these mission trips. That is a young child understanding what it means to give to those in need. And if you have the mindset that these mission trips just impact those going, you are mistaken. These trips impact the church family. And many of you have been impacted. Whether you've given money or you've given supplies or shoes or whether you've given your time to help out organizing an event, we as a church family have been impacted. And what is so encouraging to me is to see the young children and kids understand what's going on. For that little girl to make that sacrifice, she understands. She's impacted by that. The early church understood how missions can impact their church and their community. In Acts chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Acts chapter 2. Let me read these verses for you. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So here we read they had all things together, and they had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions. Maybe they had a big yard sale. And they were sharing with all who had need. Maybe they set up a big box in the temple, called it Shoes for Samaria. And they were going around from house to house with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. You see, it wasn't just the Christians that they were impacting. It wasn't just that church that was impacted like we are today. It was the entire community. And then what does it tell us? And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. How exciting is that? Can you imagine what kind of impact that would have on that church? Day by day, there was new converts, new people coming to place their faith in Christ. Every day, someone was being saved. Every day, their church was filled with new Christians and people excited about this new life that they found in Christ. Let's do a little comparison of missions today and missions back then. We have this opportunity in this day and age to travel all over the world. We can pretty much go to any corner of the world, any corner of the globe that we want to and go on missions. There's a few countries that we would be denied access, but just about any country in the world we can go to. In the Bible times, they were pretty much in Jerusalem, maybe a little bit outside at this point in the early church starting. And we see later on that Paul and others ventured out on some mission trips. But in this passage, It's just the Christians, basically, in Jerusalem, and that's where they started. And today we see that Christians are scattered all over this globe. There are many who have placed their faith in Christ of many nations and tongues all over the globe. For the Christians back then, because this was just the church starting out, it was pretty much right there, pretty much right in Jerusalem. And now here we are selling our possessions, and we're giving to those who have need, not here but in Syria and in Peru. You see, it's a much different world and environment, and there are many more opportunities that present themselves to us today than what the early Christians had. But here's the interesting aspect of all this. When it comes right down to it, we're basically doing the same thing. And God is adding day by day those who are being saved. And it may not be just in this church. It's obviously the church worldwide. God is adding day by day those who are being saved. You see, we don't know what kind of impact a pair of shoes will have for that church that Graham is working with in Peru. We don't know what kind of impact a hockey stick or a frisbee or some multicolored beads for a craft are going to have for a youth or a child in Serbia. We don't know that, but God knows. And we let God figure that out. And we let God impact the hearts and minds of those young children and youth. But we want to see more and more people place their faith in Jesus Christ and the Lord adding to his number day by day. We as a church family know that when we give to the work of the Lord, there are some great things that are going to be done. We've seen that in the past, and we will continue to see it. And I'm also sure that this community will be impacted as we continue to put our missions endeavors before them. And we need to speak about these trips to our friends and neighbors and co-workers. We need to let them know that there's people in our church that are heading overseas and spreading the news of Jesus Christ. There are people sitting across from you. And this is what we need to remember, is that London itself is a huge mission field. There are people sitting across from you at work who need to hear of Christ. There are neighbors and relatives and friends who need to be impacted by Christ's love and his work on the cross. And as we continue to provide opportunities for you as a church family to go overseas, we also need to be diligent in reaching out to this community, just like the early church did in their day and age. And if we are purposeful in this, I'm confident that the Lord will add to our numbers and to the church worldwide those who are being saved. So pray towards that end. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, do we long for that kind of impact? Do we long for that kind of impact in the world? Do we long for that kind of impact in this community? Do we long for that kind of impact for us as a church family? I hope we do. I hope we long for that, and we want to see lives changed for Jesus Christ. I want to turn your attention to the greatest mission trip of all that impacted humanity. And this was Christ coming to earth. There are so many scriptures that we could go to, but the one I'd like to draw your attention to this morning is found in Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Let me read these verses for you. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant. And being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So at that name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So here is Jesus coming to this earth and dying on a cross and rising again to prove that he is the victor over death. He is setting the example for us. He is sacrificing himself, dying on a cross for us so that we can have eternal life. Think about the impact that has had that. Think about the impact that has had on humanity throughout the ages. Thousands and thousands, perhaps millions, have responded to his call and have made him the Lord of their lives. Think about the impact that His work on the cross still has on this world today. We just need to be diligent to go out and tell people about the work that he has done. So we turn our attention to the communion table. And we come to it knowing that Christ took the greatest mission trip of all by coming to this earth. But it wasn't for him, it was for us. Scripture tells us that Jesus said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. He gave his life as a ransom for many, for you and me.